Hey there, this is Alex with Gray Area. Welcome to our series Spotlight, where our mission is to build a bigger and more united house music community by sharing new and exciting artists, festivals, and event brands with you. In this interview, you hear from Chilean-born, Ibiza-based producer Francisco Allendez. He's been determined to be a musician since early childhood, and we'll learn how a random Facebook message led to a residency at a world-renowned club. Be sure to like this video and subscribe for more interviews like this.
How are you doing today?
All good. Oh, very, very good. Here, summer is here. We had a little storm, like a 5-minute storm. But besides that, they have been beautiful. Flip-flops, t-shirts, shorts, everything. Great.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, the weather in Spain is always gorgeous during the summer. I'm kind of jealous.
Yes, and you know, and we were nervous because yesterday there was a big news about the Balearic government. Yesterday night. That they had forbidden DJs to perform in any place in Balearic Island.
Okay? At all? Like
yes.
Nothing?
That you could only have like CDs playing with no DJs at like 60 dBs. It was big news yesterday night, okay?
Yeah.
And everybody was like, wow, 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 rah, 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 rah. And today, 10 a.m.
Yeah.
They sent another news like, okay, the Balearic government thought it better and we're not going to do it.
That's good. I love to hear that. That's good news.
Yes. We took it back.
Good. Sometimes shouting at people makes a difference.
Yes. It does.
All right. So let's hop into it. I always like to start interviews by asking an artist to describe their sound to me like I've never heard dance music before.
Okay. So, you know, this is a question that I've had answered in many, many years. And I think that my sound has changed in the more than 15 years that I've done. But I think the root is always the same.
Yeah,
that I like to call it retro futuristic Martian groove. This is what you can expect. Okay,
I love that.
And then you can have in that style in more house or more techno or more Tulum, you know. But always this is the roots, retro futuristic Martian groove.
I'm going to quote that because it's so beautifully said.
I've created it with years because everybody asked me, how would you describe your sound? So I came to this because I don't have other way to say it. Somebody says, yeah, some Detroit with some Chicago and housey, but no, this is...
That gets right to the root right there. That's it. You said everything.
And with that, also, I don't have to be like in a box of sound, you know, because I can do whatever I want. I can even play the guitar in a Martian way.
It's
you know?
True. You can get up there with the violin. You can play the kazoo if you want to that way.
Exacto. I can clap the hands, you know, like this.
Yeah, it works.
Yes.
I want to go back to a little bit to when you first like started to discover that you were musically talented, and your parents have always been supportive of that.
Yes.
When you asked to take music lessons as a kid, they put you. They said, "Okay, go ahead and pick something." So, how has that encouragement of your parents made a positive impact on your career?
The real motivation and my the person that opened the door for me in music to understand what it is, actually weren't my parents. It was a neighbor. That we used to live on a condo with many houses.
Yeah,
and there was a guy that I was like 9 or 8 years, okay. And there was a guy that later I knew that he was like kind of crazy, okay. but he was like 40 something, and he was obsessed with music, with classical music, and I would go in the condo, and he would give me like tapes with music, okay, with Bach, Mozart, Vivaldi, and then I would listen to it with my parents, you know? And my dad liked this music very much. My mother didn't like it very much. But because of this, I wanted to go and play the violin. And this I started telling to my parents, okay? My dad didn't want, because he said, No, because we're going to buy the violin and you're going to play it for 1 week and then you're going to leave it and die with the toys and blah, blah, blah.
Huh? Right.
And then my mother did it and she did it in secret. Okay.
Wow.
So she did it in secret. And well, the secret lasted 2 hours because we went with the violin home, you know, and then there was no more secret. But then I started taking classes and right away they both were very enthusiastic. Also me. And they always been supportive with that. Like I remember my first concerts, I would travel with my mom around Chile to do contests and concerts with the orchestra when I was a kid. And of course to have this this support from the family is a lot because I know many people that don't have this support from their family, you know?
Right.
So and this already cuts your legs if you don't have love and support from your circle to do what you want, you know?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And you mentioned that your mom wasn't so into classical music, but your dad was. What kind of music was your mom listening to?
She was a big fan of Julio Iglesias.
Oh, nice.
Yes. she was in love with him. I think many moms were in love with him.
I think so.
And also Rafael, and then more like typical Chilean music, guys called Huasos Quincheros. Very, very like non-classical music, pop, maybe right. of her times and classic rock and roll, like Elvis Presley. She would remind her 15 party, you know, like this.
Yeah, yeah. That's so awesome. And yeah. How did you got into classical music really young. That's a young age to like get exposed to classical music and actually like it. When you started to further develop your musical taste, like, and you know, as you were becoming a teenager, what did you find yourself moving into?
You know, I've had the luck that I had very good friends that introduced me to a lot of quality music.
Yeah.
Okay. So my big brother, I have two brothers. The biggest one was a big fan of classic rock. So he was always making me hear Rush, Led Zeppelin, all this, you know, Jethro Tull, all these classic bands, rocks, like with big guitars, big concerts. He took me to a concert, to my first concert ever. He took me to see Steve Vai, the guitarist, the rock guitarist.
Cool.
Brother, you can't, I never heard him before. And I saw Steve Vai like, it was like, whoa, my God. Because I knew something on Steve Vai because he was playing guitar with Frank Zappa. And right. I was a big fan of Frank Zappa because another friend introduced me to Frank Zappa and Pink Floyd in the same cassette. One side was Frank Zappa and the other side was Pink Floyd. And this cassette changed my view of music, you know? And Steve Vai did play with Frank Zappa for some years when he was a kid, but then he did his career and saw him. So I started to, my brother taught me rock. Other friend from school gave me Floyd and Zappa. And another friend that from orchestra that played flute, she showed me Björk. I didn't know yes. Björk. And we went to see her Björk live because she, my flute friend, she was so big fan of Björk that she learned Icelandic, the language of Björk.
Wow.
So when Björk came to Chile, she sneaked in the hotel and she managed to talk with the first violin of her octet that wow. was something with her. And he goes to the guy and says something in Icelandic. And the guy was like, oh my God, who is this? Who is this Chilean kid talking to me in Icelandic? Please come to the concert, bring your friends. You're on my list. And we were all there, brother, because of her. And I was my first time listening to Björk, 2 meters away from Björk. Can you believe that?
That's so crazy. I have
Rock, Rush, Pink Floyd, Frank Zappa, Led Zeppelin. I don't know. Then more weird stuff, more jazzy stuff, Chick Corea, Mahavishnu Orchestra, all the things. And all this with the Björk, and all with bands. And I start to, of course, do a mixture of classical music and rock. I bought a guitar. I had a keyboard, and we had some bands, and it was a great time because yeah. rock and roll is rock.
Yeah,
rock and roll rocks. But when you're a teenager, the level of commitment is different.
Yeah,
from everybody in the band.
Yeah,
and in every band that I was part of. I was the more committed, you know. So sometimes right. I would go in the band never would show up all to train, to do rehearsals. So in one moment I said, you know what, I need to find a way to do my music on my own. I don't want to be dependent on a drummer that likes to go to party on Friday night and then he doesn't come to rehearsal, you know? Like yeah. real rock and rollers, they come even if they didn't sleep, you know, for rehearsal. Right?
You gotta go.
Exacto. I mean, I don't care if you do a party. You come and we rehearse and we keep drinking in the rehearsals. This is, right? is rock and roll, eh?
That's rock and roll.
Exacto. That's what they say in the movies. Yeah, but it wasn't like this in my case. So I have to find a way to make music on my own. And in all this music that I told you, everybody was using synthesizers. Like Rush has big synthesizer, Pink Floyd, right. Frank Zappa, they had amazing synthesizers. And I was already making some music in the computer, but for our bands, rock, yeah. and with plugins that would emulate the synths, the synthesizers. Huh? So I said, okay, I'm going to start making music on my own on the computer. And I was making like weird things that are mostly were very, very horrible. And
as they are when you first start out.
and nonsense and stuff.
Right.
And then a couple of years after, the same flute friend that took me into Björk, I was going on a bus. Okay, I was out of school going home on a bus, and she came on the bus like randomly. Yeah. Said, hey, she was with Camila, come. And we sit together, and she said, what are you doing? I told her, yeah, I'm doing now music on the computer because of this. And she told me, do you know techno? You say, Anthony, what? Because in techno, in Chile, techno was not big. It was big on a small group that right. I didn't know nobody around techno or electronic music. And she said, do you know techno? Have you heard techno? You say, no, what is techno? This is music you play with turntables. Blah, 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 blah. And my boyfriend is a DJ and he plays hard techno with three turntables. She tells me, really? Yes. Okay, I would like to see that. And so we, she took me and she showed me this and her boyfriend was a great DJ underground, like very hard techno for the time. And he were playing records and I say, wow, this is interesting. And the music sounded kind of way similar to what I was doing on the computer.
Right.
So I say, maybe this is the way that I should like focus the stuff. Huh? And that was my first encounter with electronic music, and then the rest happened.
It's so interesting that the person that gave you your first guestless experience is also the person that got you into dance music. Do you still keep in contact with her?
Yes. Now she doesn't. Also, she was a DJ, of course, in that time.
Right.
But now she quit music, and now she raced cars. You know, these little Fiats.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
And you had actually already started playing records before you landed on dance music as like your DJ thing.
Exacto.
How do you think learning to DJ other types of music helped you as a DJ of dance music?
I mean, to play records is the protocol is the same whatever records you're going to play.
Right.
I mean, if you need to play on a marriage or a wedding, in a wedding or a club or restaurants, I mean, the equipment is always the same. Right. Well, now there are maybe not two tables, but the mixer is a mixer and the CDJs are the CDJs. So it helps, of course it helps. But then the approach is different. When I used to play in the first parties, when I used to play cumbia and pachanga, you wouldn't beat match. You just
play records.
Select, change and look cool and you know, and say, hey ladies, and to change the record. But because you didn't have to focus very much in beat matching. Eh? But then with the beat matches, it was another world. But it was like a natural step to go from one to the other.
That makes sense. And how do you feel like your country has influenced you in your music?
I think we have a in our country, there is a big, big, big influence, of course, of Ricardo and Luciano.
Right. You
know, they are the icons of Chile, of Chilean electronic music. So then in fact, my first big records were released with Luciano, and he made them big. And because of his help, in some way I came to Europe. So I think that more than Chile influenced me, I think they influenced me and the movement that they created, because yes, they were making this electronic music with the Chilean roots in the back, with the folkloric sounds and stuff, but it was something that they were doing.
Right.
It's not that something that was happening in Chile in general.
Right.
You know, they were doing it and we were around and we were doing like things that sound kind of like that. You know, and then we started to research more on like Chilean sounds to create this kind of music.
Right.
So I think it was their influence that made me, their influence more than Chilean influence. Because in Chile also there's many, many other different kinds of music.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. When you started out, you made a deal with yourself that if you weren't successful by the time you were 30, you'd quit music. So
exacto.
How close do you think you actually got to quitting?
10 months.
10 months. You were 10 months away from quitting. Like,
yeah,
it was that close.
And yes, then brother,
and then one of your first big records like really hit big and you decided to keep at it.
The records were coming from years before, but
right.
I started producing records in 2005, 2006. I came to live in Spain I did the first try and I couldn't stay in Spain. So I have to go back to Chile because I didn't get the visa, you know, and I was there and then I signed the record with Luciano and they were hits and the few were very played. But I didn't get the permit to work in Europe, you know. I wouldn't get it, and suddenly when I was 29, like almost 29 and a half, I received a Facebook message of a girl, okay, that she works in music and she lives in Ibiza and she sees me and she says, I want to help you. And I say, yeah, I get messages like this every day. You know,
right.
Everybody says, yeah, I want to help you. And they just want to, I don't know, to make music with you or I don't know.
I say,
So she's just one more of this. Okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was like fun. So we start talking and she was working in Ushuaia. She was doing the bookings for Ushuaia.
Right.
So she liked my music. And we were talking and sometimes passed and she said, hey, how would you like to be resident of Ushuaia next year? let me think about it. No, I say, of course,
right.
Of course. I mean, if this didn't happen, I was working on something else in 3 more months, you know?
Yeah.
Because I was running, knocking every door and trying to put everything, but nothing was happening. And this happened, brother, at 29 years. And I said to my dad, yes, I'm going to live in Ibiza. And I came here to live in Ibiza and I didn't live anymore. That was 10 years ago, brother. And it was at 29 and 6 months.
You were so close to ending it all. Knowing that your parents have like supported you for so long, how did they feel when you were like, okay, I'm moving to Ibiza now and I'm going to live there and I'm going to just keep doing this thing for the rest of my life?
Well, they were, you know, parents are happy when the kids are happy. You know, I have a kid and I don't care what he does, but if he smiles, I'm happy. And I think they felt the same. They always had this this worry about the money issue, you know, because living in art and in music, all musicians starve, you know, and what are we going to do when you are old, blah, 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 blah. And in fact, the first years that I was here, I came to live in Ibiza, I wasn't really successful. So the first 2-3 years, they were still like saying, like, you sure you stay in Ibiza? your room here is completely with the it's the same room.
We're holding it for you.
We still didn't rent it. You can come back. but then the wheels start to move, and I went in with Desolade and with Ants, and festivals came, and they start to come in Ibiza, and they start to come with me to my parties and see me play, and they were saying like, okay, so maybe it's not a game. It really is. It looks like a proper job.
Yeah, okay? Absolutely.
You can stay in Ibiza, son.
We'll let you.
Exacto.
And Ibiza is like the epicenter of dance music, or at least one of them in the world. And it's, you know, during the season, there's a lot going on. You're very busy. How do you find balance between party life and having a healthy home lifestyle?
My first summer in Ibiza was very painful, okay? because it was my first time, and it was very excited about everything, like the big billboards when you come in the airport and you see big DJs and parties everywhere, and then you know people. And when you work in a club, you can mostly go everywhere for free because you know all the people. So I was in every club and every party, seeing all the big DJs. And that first summer, I slept very little and I end up very tired. Okay.
Yeah.
So then I said, okay, if I'm going to live here, I need to find a way to live here and long.
Yeah.
and last. So I find time always. I force myself to do sports at least 5 times a day. So that means that I need to sleep also 5 times a day at least. Yeah. And then since I'm all summer here, I choose and I go out 3 times a week, no more. Because I'm here 6 months.
Right.
You know? So it's 3, 12, it's like 72 parties.
That's already a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah. And if I play, it doesn't count. No, so then it's like maybe 5 more or 10 more. So it's already a lot, because there is no sense for me that go out every day nonstop, because I'm here all month. You know, it's different if you come for a week. I understand that you go all in. Wow, Monday to Sunday, because you're going out.
Right.
Next Sunday, and you're not coming back for a year. But right. I live here. Also, I have my family, I have my kids, so I have to also do the daddy thing, you know, and
yeah,
take
absolutely.
The kids to school, because the school only stops in July and August. So June, September, I need to bring the kids to school, and that means at 7 a.m. I have to deliver.
You have to be up. You know?
Exacto.
Yeah, you got to be there. You got to be there for the kids.
Exacto.
What else do you do? What are some of your favorite things to do on Ibiza that aren't related to party life? Like, what are your summer favorite places to go? What are your favorite places to eat? Like, what do you do when you're not doing the DJ thing?
Well, I like sports a lot. I do CrossFit a lot. And I'm very lucky because it's 2 blocks from here,
yeah.
from my house. So it's very close. And I go there almost every day to do sports. Then, of course, I love sea. I love the beach. But I don't go very much because I don't like to clean the sand after, you know.
Oh,
so
right.
I just so we have a pool in our building, and the pool is in front of the beach. So we go to the pool and we can watch the beach. This is I think the best deal that we could ever have.
Awesome.
And a friend of us that came here, he liked. Have you done paddle surf?
Yeah. Oh, you stand up, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yes, I didn't know this. And a friend of my wife came here and he bought one because he likes it a lot. So he said, I'm going to buy it. I'm going to leave it here. You have it. So when he comes, he can use it. And he left it here. Brother, and I'm addicted to this thing. It's incredible. It's incredible, the paddle surf. I mean, wow.
It looks relaxing, and like it's a really good workout too.
It's a good workout, and you of course you fall a lot if you have to be very focused. But it's super 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 fun. I mean, we have some friends and we are doing the whole island. We're going on the border,
wow.
not in one day, you know. But yeah. we go one day we do I don't know a couple of kilometers. Then we meet next week and we start from when we finished, and then So we go around all island, and then you see, it's very cool. You see all the caves, you know, because if you don't do it like this, you're never going to see these places. Well, maybe if you go on boats, but on this boat, you're never going to see really the whole island on the sides. Huh? I was trying also to do bicycle, but it's a little bit boring. No, not for me.
That's really great that you get to explore your home in like a way in a new way.
Exactly.
Like on the ocean, like, you know, that's not something everybody's going to get to see when they go visit there, and being able to live there and like be able to like really experience the island in that way must be really special.
Exactly. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So you've been in dance music for almost 20 years now, and given that amount of perspective, what's the biggest professional lesson that you feel like you've learned?
Wow. Good question. The best professional, I think that you always have to be humble. It's very important to be humble, brother. It's very important. I mean, because when good times are happening, you feel like you're a god.
Yeah.
But then bad time comes and you see that you're just a person. And and being helpful and grateful help us go through these times, you know?
Yeah.
I see so many people that wants to come in the scene that has a vision of something that is not real, because many times what we show is something that is not real.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah.
And this can really make your head go cuckoo, you know?
Yeah.
So it's
absolutely.
It's very important to be humble, to last. I mean, if when I came to Ibiza, it was the same. I told you the first summer was very busy, but then I say, hey, I want to do this as my job. I want to do this until I die. I mean, maybe 60, 70 years. So I have to be healthy. I have to be focused. I have to be humble, brother. I have to be thankful. Yeah. Otherwise, things is going to finish bad, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. Beautifully said. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
And my last question, I always love to end with this question. What excites you about the future of dance music?
Well, the future of dance music excites me if we just are able to go back to dance. excites me a lot.
Yeah.
but then also it excites me to see that the electronic, the music in general, but electronic dance music is an infinite flow of experience and new blood coming in, mixing with old blood. You know, in a moment I felt that I was new blood.
Yeah.
And I saw people that was like old, and now I see people that is young. They come with and this excites me very much. I mean, I've been doing classes on this year to people that want to improve their production skills.
Right.
And I've seen so much talent. That is coming with new ideas and fresh ideas. And for a moment, I was a bit maybe bored.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, I said, like, music is not, there's no new good music. Maybe they just didn't find it. But I see now there is a big, big flow of new music, of new blood coming with new ideas that excites me a lot. I mean, music is getting better and better and better.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you. The pandemic has really exposed so many fresh people.
Yes.
And it's beautiful to watch. I started going to parties when I was in like 99. So it's a beautiful thing to just see this turnover and like all of these people, there's still people coming in, and it's beautiful to see how big it's gotten to, that it's really global. Like, it's truly a global thing now.
Exacto. And there is amazing talent coming from places that you would never expect, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, a cab driver from Kazakhstan had like the number one record in the world, which is just crazy to me. Like, that's so awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time out to speak to me today. This was a great conversation. I really enjoyed it.
It was great indeed. Thank you for inviting me. Yes. Yeah,
absolutely. And we'll be in touch about when everything posts. But again, thank you so much. And, you know, if you're ever in the United States, I live in California. If you ever find yourself in San Francisco, let me know. I'd love to take you out for a drink.
Amazing. Yes. Great name of the city. Great name of the city.
Yes. Actually, I want to tell you, my brother's name is Francisco too. And so is my grandfather.
Wow. Wow. Well, also my father, my grandfather, and my son. So we're
nice.
A lot of Franciscos around.
A lot of Franciscos around. Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for talking to me today. And you have a wonderful day.
Thank you too. Take care, brother.
You too. Bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Bye.